do begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. First and foremost, just I want to update everybody. It looks like there's officially a home for the Social Primate. And it's happening here in the EOTR studios. And my guest today is none other than the person who brought me in, Mezcal.
What up? What up?
Yeah, thanks, man. Thank you for, first of all, having me here, you know, walking me through all the basics in the spot and just kind of embracing me, you know, to come in here and kind of produce the show out of the studios.
I'm glad you took the leap. You know, and it's good to have you here, bro. I feel like it's the beginning of something great.
Thank you. And I mean, and for the people who, I'll be surprised, for the people who don't know you, at least in the, you know, in the fucking proximity of what is California, Los Angeles, at this point, your name is pretty synonymous with like East LA and, you know, hip hop. So, you know, before we jump into what I really want to talk about, tell me how you kind of got started with all that. Like, where did that all come from?
Right. I mean, it's a long story. I've been grinding, doing hip hop for almost 12 years, 13 years now. So, you know, I'm glad that, you know, just sticking around, staying at your art form and doing what you love. Like, you do it long enough, people will recognize it. You know what I mean? And people will cheer for you if you're just kind of staying consistent and improving. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing that a long time ago. Like, as long as you improve and as long as you're consistent, you'll always have people cheering for you. People in your sideline, people in your corner that are just on the, like, just cheering, you know? So I took that and I ran with it, man. I've tried to stay consistent and it feels good. It feels good that, you know, repping East LA and Boyle Heights consciously, in a sense that, like, I could have just said LA or West Coast. And I was like, nope, I'm going to say Boyle Heights. I'm going to say East LA. And even people are like, that's all he raps about. It's just like, well, that's my thing. Like, you got to have your thing and I'm not going to apologize for it. And so I love, you know, I love my city. I love repping it, and I feel like I'm just, you know, I feel good. I feel like I'm getting better every year, even though I've been at it for so long. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me active.
You know, I see it, and it's because of that when you, you know, reached out to me after I had reached out about, you know, looking for a spot, and you kind of gave me like a rundown. And, you know, again, it's, I want people to understand something, that sometimes you're so stuck in your hole or in your ways that it's hard for you to listen to anybody else, right? And until somebody comes into your life and they're like, hey, let me shake you up and let me tell you something that you might have missed. Right. And then you kind of let yourself hear it and stuff. Then you can kind of reflect and be like, oh, fuck, I could have been playing my cards a little differently, you know, all this whole time.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, it's important to, you know, take it into consideration and make the changes that you need in order to kind of fucking move to the next level. And that's what I got from you. That's the energy that I picked up from you the day that you were kind of talking to him. I was like, man, this guy sounds kind of like you've had experience with mentoring and stuff, right? Like at least being a leader of a sort, where you can, you've been there, you've done it, and you have the experience to say, hey, I know what to do here. Let's fucking shift things around and let's move forward. Right. And that's what I kind of picked up from you, man. So,
well, I mean, you know, it's like, I mean, I appreciate it. I appreciate even you know, reciprocating it and being willing to hear out what I'm trying to say. Because some people might be like, man, fuck this guy. Or like, who does he think he is? You know, and I get that sometimes. And even before, a few years back, when I would speak up or some stuff, I would hit that. I would hit people where they'd be like, nah, I don't like being approached like that. How you approach me, you're too direct, you're too this. And I would be like, yeah, my bad, you know, and I'd back down. And now I'm more just like, all right then, and I won't tell you nothing, but I'm not gonna apologize for just being direct, because there's not enough people in our lives that just tell us these things sometimes and are real with us. And I know, because, you know, I damn near went a couple years recently just not having the right people in my corner, or not listening and trusting my own self, you know? So I kind of just got out of that storm. So if I can see someone else who's kind of in it, or maybe needs just a little push, maybe needs just to hear the words, like, hey, bro, you're good. Like, you got this. Why don't you try this? Or why don't you, you know? And if who I am, or this, you know, status, or this like perception I've built up helps, like this, if that gives it weight to what I'm saying to people, then great. You know what I mean? Like, oh, wow, if Mezcal's saying it, then maybe it's true. Maybe I do got some talent, or maybe I do need to fucking try this. And I'm like kind of owning that more now than ever before. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what? If my words are going to mean something, then I might as well make them mean something and make sure I'm saying it and believing what I'm saying and trusting it and following through with it. Yeah, you know exactly. What I mean? Because there's been times in the past too, I know I've said too much maybe, and I'm like, fuck, maybe I wasn't ready to mm-hmm. take on that, or I didn't have the right concept. Because when you tell someone I'll help you, it's a crazy thing. And also, like, in art and in hip-hop, not enough people really help you or tell you they believe in you.
Right.
And yeah, I trip out on that because, like, I've met even big artists who've rocked bigger stages than me. Mm-hmm. And they're fearless, except if you look them in the eyes and say, I believe in you. You're great. How can I help you achieve your goal? Like lead me. Mm-hmm. I'll follow you. What you want to do? They're like, like, yeah. I was better at being the underdog. Like, I don't know how to be the leader, you know? Like,
yeah, that's a good way to put it, because it's true. I feel like it's hard to step into that leader role sometimes, because kind of like all the stuff that you mentioned, at the end of the day, if you're telling or helping guide somebody, you have to apply that to your own, you know, yourself. If you're going to, you know, what is the word I'm looking for? Like, you got to preach what you
practice what you preach.
Practice what you preach, yeah.
Right. And that was one of my early principles. Like, when you get stuck, mm-hmm. help other people. Because inherently, by helping others figure their stuff out, you're going to figure out your stuff. And then you're forced to, you know, if you see someone and you're like, they're like, I'm having this problem. You're like, well, you don't manage your time right. You should wake up earlier. You should mm-hmm. try this. And then you're right here sleeping in till noon.
Yeah, exactly.
Smoking a blunt. Like, it's just going to hit different, right? Mm-hmm. So I think more than ever right now, I'm in a point where I'm so dedicated and committed that I'm not really worried about necessarily, like, some of the things that are out of my control, what someone likes, what's going on outside of my studio, or, like, what's going on outside of my movement. It's more like, hey, I can't control that. What I can control is that I know I'm going to be dedicated, that I know I'm going to work hard, that I know I'm, like, doing the things I believe, the formula that gets me the success, that helps me write that dope song, that helps me bring that extra energy to a performance. Mm-hmm. It's like a diet, you know? Same thing with, like, our social media and the people we're around. It's all intake. Like, if you're just eating fast, greasy, dirty food, how you think you're gonna feel?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with your content, and it's the same thing with the energy you share with people, who you kick it with, who you smoke with, who you fuck, who you fucking like, what you like, all that shit matters, dog. You are giving energy to shit.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it's like a diet. You mm-hmm. don't know that that person or that thing you're consuming is making you fat in your soul, you know, or in your in your grind. Yeah, yeah. Like your grind is just all fucking fat and saturated, like, and greasy sugar. You know what I mean? Like. Yeah. And so I guess just being more conscious of that and knowing where I'm at, I just feel confident where I'm like, nah, like, I'm not going to let anyone down I'm talking about right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be ghost tomorrow. I'm not going to drop the ball. Like, nah, I feel like I feel good. Like, trust me, I got this, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just been speaking on it more, I think, more than ever, more than anything else.
No, that's good, man. And I like that, because I've had a few people tell me, like, hey, maybe you should change your perspective on things, because I'm not a pessimistic guy. I like to say I'm a realist.
Right. I was gonna say, you're a realist.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm like, nah. If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But, you know, to try to, like, mitigate the fucking emotional damage you get from, you know, rejection or whatever it is.
Right. Right.
But you know, I've lately been told more, like, you should, you know, change your, you know, the way you kind of think about things. Like, instead of saying that, like, maybe be more positive about it. And then, you know, about the energy stuff, you attract certain things to you, so on and so forth.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, cool. I'll try it and stuff. And I gave this example to somebody because I found it fucking mind blowing. But last week we were supposed to meet up and record an episode for the, you know, just a little bit of background.
Right.
Things didn't necessarily work out. It felt like things were just kind of like back to back, like no, right, not working right. out. Some context on that. Some cables were missing, or the batteries right. and all this stuff. But there was this fucking silver lining in this whole experience that I was just aware, because I was pretty stoned that day.
Right.
We went to 7-Eleven, and then, you know, you wanted to get a coffee. You got the coffee. The fucking milk was didn't have milk. Yeah. The coffee machine wasn't working.
Like everything was going wrong.
Yeah, everything. And the lady was like, even looking like she was having fucking like a little irritation. Like, man, this guy can't get the fucking coffee to work.
She's on the phone and shit. She's right there.
But after all that shit that happened, man, you were about to leave so you can pay, right? And she says, you can have the coffee.
Right.
And I was like, I was like mind blown. I was like, holy fuck.
You know, I didn't think about that.
This guy didn't get fazed by anything that was happening. You know, you kept going, kind of just moving fucking past every fucking obstacle that was happening. And even with that, when the lady gave you the free coffee, I was like, dude, good things happen. Like, fucking good things just happen sometimes. Right. And it just depends on your attitude. And your attitude this whole time was like, all right, we don't have batteries. Let's go to fucking 7-Eleven. You know, we fucking walked and tried it. But it was that moment that I was like, dude, good things happen if you keep persevering through things, you know? Like,
right.
Something's going to build up, and it just comes out as a random fucking thing.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it, man. I mean, it's true. You know, life is 10%, right? What happens, 90% how you react to it. And it's very much true. And same way when you underreact or you don't care, and like it happens, we become adults and we become whatever, you know, hyper-realist and just like, this is the fucking probably what's going to happen, and you try not to get your hopes up.
Yeah.
And I get it. But definitely, I think more than anything else is just like keeping a healthy amount of both. Like, you're hopeful, but you're also real.
Yeah.
You're real with your approach. You know, like, you know, don't do nothing dumb at the same time. I believe in myself so much. Like, all right, jump off the building. You believe you can fly? like, no, like, that's ridiculous, but... At the same time, there are times that you just have to take the leap, you know? Yeah. But, yeah, last week was a trip, bro. Everything was fucking up. And, you know, when I was here, I was like, you know, out of the almost three years we've been at this studio, I can't think of one time where we didn't get a podcast done. Uh-huh. As far as just, like, the audio not working. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Like, that doesn't happen. Like, we've had almost every other thing happen, like, do a podcast and like people argue, walk off, like the podcast randomly end or anything. But like, it's never been like locked out of the computer. Like what happened last time? I'm like, what the fuck?
With the keyboard and
so
shit?
Weird, dude. But you know, like you said, it was just, it was meant to be in a way.
Yeah.
It was meant to test the resolve of,
there you go, of
the situation.
Yeah. Right? And that's what something I'm practicing, like just how to react to things. You know, that's a skill that a lot of people don't have. You know, there's not a lot of emotional, I think, intelligence going around. Mm-hmm. People react too fast or too quickly, like you said, or too quickly or too slow. Opportunities come and
most
go.
Most time it's just like your ego reacts for you.
Yeah.
It's just people react with their ego. It happens to me sometimes. I mean, it's your ego's there to fucking try to protect you, I guess, you know, all this shit. So people react all fucking like, you know, either hyper emotional or they just detach and they're just like, you know, I'm checked out, I'm this, I'm that, and you know, it's a trip. I'm much more like, I'd rather explore the whole thing of it, you know what I mean, like and try to go through it,
or like that experience emotion. What, your emotions while they're happening,
yeah, or, like, you know, try to like get a register it before you're like trying to react to it. How do I feel about this?
Yeah,
you know, weigh in everything, like what might be there, what might not be there, because subconsciously is a motherfucker, bro. Like, your subconscious is so fucking crazy, especially as you get older, because you have so much shit to worry about and so much shit on your mind that you don't react to shit. You don't really register shit you're supposed to. Like, straight up, you know, like, as you get older, it's such a mind fuck, you know, but that's some other shit, you know, but I'm a little high too, so there you go.
But, I mean, you know, just to kind of bring all that together, again, it's just these things that I see, you know, amongst other people within myself, that's just trying to make me reflect more on who I am, right, and how other people fucking react to their lives, and ultimately trying to bring that into, you know, some sort of conversation where people are like, hey, dude, I feel the exact same way.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I mean, you know, the whole idea, just being here, just finding a place, I feel like, again, things happen sometimes for reasons. I know it sounds fucking cheesy, you know, but ultimately I feel like, again, things fall into place and it's up to you whether to see whether these things are going to be opportunities or things that you have to, you know, ski, you know?
Right.
It was a good introduction to Mezcal.
Hey, you know, I'm going to say this because what you're saying on how you react, right? I think a overlooked quality, a huge overlooked quality, is poise. Mm-hmm. It's just poise. It's just standing still, standing, but firm. Stand, like, there's a difference between being stuck and being poised. You know what I mean? The poker face.
Okay, okay.
The stand in the pocket. Mm-hmm. If you're a football guy, like, stand tall in the pocket. You know you're going to get hit. But that extra millisecond you stood and looked it and got it done, mm-hmm. that part of life is the most, to me, is one of the most overlooked qualities of individuals. Because we love flashy. We love the speech. You know, I could do the speech. You know, like you say, you're motivational. Like, I'll be pumping fools up. Like, come on, dog. Da, 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 da. And even me, I'll say some shit that I'm like, damn, that sounded dope. Like mm-hmm. I can't believe I said that shit. In a sense that I'm just saying what the universe is showing me. Since last year, I had just each month, each quarter, each little gap of time had a slogan I was trying to push. Mm-hmm. So for a while, I would just say, this is the savage land. This is like, what are you doing? I'm like, man, it's just savage here, dude. I can't even explain it. We're just not doing shit. We're just fucking figuring it out. Mm-hmm. Everyone has their shit everywhere. One person's doing this, one person's doing this, as far as a studio. Then I was like, okay, I'm going through it. It is what it is phase. Literally, I was like, all I could look at life right now and be like, it is what it is. Like, I'm not going to fucking get too hung up on it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to learn to accept it. Float with the river. Just let that shit take you, right? Then I was like, okay, produce. Do as much as you can. And then there was that poise where they're like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, mm-hmm. you know what, guys? We need to just stay poised. We need to stick to the plan. You don't mm-hmm. react. You just stare the devil in the eyes. You know what I nice. Mean?
Like, okay, yeah, I get you.
You know, it's like that motherfucking predator got the eyes on you and you stand strong and you look them back in the eye when you stand up to a bully. If mm-hmm. kids remember what bullies were, I just dealt with one the other day. Just the other day, at 35 years old, I got to look another man in the eyes and be like, fuck you. I'm not backing down.
Yeah.
Either hit me or leave me the fuck alone. Uh-huh. But the threat of it isn't going to back me down. And I'm just going to stand poised and stand strong. Mm-hmm. I'm not a tough guy, but I'm not a bitch. So yeah. What are you going to do? And 9 out of 10 times, fools back down or they're not as, you know, it's just like, they get stuck. Mm-hmm. That quality, that poise is something that's like really missing. Or I just feel like there's not enough of it. Too many times we play victim or we over aggressive because of we've been victimized in the past. So we said, I'm going to fuck that guy up. Because last time I got punched, so I'm gonna shoot that guy before he could fucking punch me. That's how most fools are. Like, there's not killers out here and murderers mm-hmm. and all that. No, like, these are all people who were fucking at one point a victim and now have come back for that ass and are like, next person that messes with me is getting it.
Yeah, you know? So, right. To compensate, yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying.
So, yeah, I just want to say that, like, I believe in poise and, like, right now it's telling itself right now. For a minute, it was the full circle. I think I'm still in a full circle phase. Mm-hmm. There's stuff that I put into motion a couple years back that's now coming full circle. Mm-hmm. Good and bad. There's shit coming back to me now that I'd never closed in the past or that I left unfinished or there's chinks in the armor and people are like, all right, you're doing good right now? Mm-hmm. What about this? What about this? What about this $50 you owe me? What about this time you didn't do this file? What about, like, all that just starts to resurface. You're like, oh, shit. And it's not like I don't want to pay that. Like, no, if it's something I let someone down, like, mm-hmm. shit, let me make amends for it. You know, shit moves. I can't be on everything. You can't please everyone. There's going to be times you just let people down. But I've noticed lately it's been coming back. And the good stuff mm-hmm. I did that I knew. And I'm, you know, I stopped focusing on it. I just said, fuck it. I know that's going to work out. And I just did the work. Mm-hmm. And then boom, it fucking happens now. And I'm like, oh shit. Well, good thing I did that. Good thing I paid that shit. 12 months ago, I made that decision that mm-hmm. I was going to do this or do that. And now it comes full circle. And it reaffirms everything I'm doing now. The film stuff, the Gem Academy, me trying to teach people what I'm learning. The marketing, the NFTs, this is all shit I've just been silently learning, doing on my own, put on the side. But I know my future self is thanking me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
damn, I'm glad you stood up and watched that video, you know, whatever it may be. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly. No, it, you know, it makes sense. I'm going to bring it back to the event. So last week there was an event, for, like a Web3 event. You know, you were performing and they had speakers coming up. And, you know, since we're kind of, I want to delve into the Web3 space. I was surprised when you started telling me, we had a whole conversation, like a fucking deep conversation about just crypto and your involvement in it and, yeah, you know, how you've been playing around with it. And like I mentioned to you just before the podcast, it's like there's not a lot of people that I personally know that I can sit down and talk about that with. So when you told me, like, hey, yeah, I'm going to be at a space, you know, fucking event, Web3, I'm going to perform. I was like, dude, it's fucking kill two birds with one stone there.
Right, right.
So showed up and then, you know, you show up and it's just a bunch of other people that are into Web3 and people are like, what the fuck is Web3? You know, just to simplify that, at least from my understanding, it's like right now we're in Web2, right? Web 1
was when we... It's the next generation of the internet.
Yeah, it's the next level, right? The next phase. And, you know, Yahoo fucking early 90s when we couldn't really do shit, that was Web 1.
Right.
So now Web 2 that we can interact and have all these things happen is Web 2. So understand, people, this is a future fucking internet.
Right.
So point is, I was just fascinated with the fact that you were interested into that. The event was happening. And, dude... Like, fuck, I don't even know where to start. Like, all I know is that this is a fucking crazy ass space. And I feel like you as a musician, like, they were talking about that at the event. It's like, how do you make music involved with Web3 and how do you manage your music moving forward into the space, especially now that you have platforms like Spotify, you know, giving rarely, like, fucking cents of a cent for fucking streams. And you personally have no control over how that this is distributed, you know?
Right, right. Right now, you even saying that, like, I had this other profound thought, like, while Spotify doesn't pay in money, the streams itself, the numbers, is like a social metric or like a badge of honor. In a sense, you got a million streams, it has a social importance to it. So in many ways, Spotify already tokenized, the mentality of it is already Web3,
right?
But they just don't pay out. And that's what people get pissed off about. But if you have a million streams, you might get booked quicker than an MC with 5,000 streams just based off of that fucking face value that someone sees from Spotify. A booker might be like, hey, I'll book him. Even though all your fans may live in Russia, they don't fucking know where those streams came from. So you may end up getting more money on your bottom line. I'm kind of running on a transient, but I'm just saying, like, it's so funny how, like, a lot of this stuff already works this way. And Web3 is just going to make it easier to access it. And that's what intrigues me the most. That, you know, the way my brain works is like, I'll never be the smartest fool. I'm not going to pretend like I know coding or I understand any of this shit. But what I do know, and one of my gifts has always been, is just kind of knowing where things are moving and having a feel of the times. You know what I mean? And like, you can feel people, there's the need for it, for artists and for the things that Web3 shows. And then there's all this money and everyone's like, where's all the money, NFTs?
Yeah.
Crazy part is like, Web3 is gonna allow and build industry from stuff that's already here. You just haven't had access to it. And so like, the same way the internet, before it was like AOL chat. And then someone somewhere said, you're going to make a trillion dollars off of this one day. How? Well, because if we're communicating and you have a jacket that you want to sell and the dude over there wants to buy it on the other side of the world, there's no way for us to make that transaction right now. I have to go through a magazine. You have to see it on TV and call it in. Yep. Or you have to go to a physical store. Well, they're like, here, Web2, it'll allow you to fucking do an app like Amazon or something like this, fill that gap.
Yeah.
So now, you know, when, you know, if you just go back like 12 years ago or 15 years ago, I think no trillion-dollar companies existed. I think just 8 years ago, 10 years ago. Now there's 7 of them. And probably in the next 10 years, you know, there'll be dozens, if not 100 trillion-dollar companies. So, like, there's a world of money out there and, like, opportunity that, you know, it's not like it's just going to plop out of nowhere. Like, no, it's already there. It's already there. Like, there's ways that your fans could be supporting you right now. People listening to this podcast, and you don't need to be Joe Rogan and get a million streams. Like, no, you could just have your 100 core listeners, 200 listeners, and you tokenize your episode, or, you know, you drop some digital collectibles and you could have your 200 fans selling to them for $50 and make your, you know, 10 grand on one mint.
On one mint, yeah.
As opposed to, you know, and again, like, that's not anything. You already have those fans. Mm-hmm. They already listen and get value from your show. It's like, it's not like it's anything else but just a new tool to access it. So, like, I could see that. And so that's what makes me a believer. That's what kind of got me into it and seeing the application that could happen with music. Now, is it here yet? No. Do we have it here yet? No. You saw on the panels, but they all can't agree on one or on anything because it's still the Wild West. They're still figuring it out.
Exactly.
So it's still just tough, but the possibilities are there. And obviously the early adopters are the ones who always come up the most. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the most recent music, one of the most bigger recent projects that I saw was Snoop Dogg had released, I think he was releasing like master tracks as fucking NFTs.
Right.
And dude, he made a fucking shitload of money, of course. It's Snoop Dogg.
Right.
But then there was this other band that does, I don't personally know them or listen to them, but I was reading articles. The Chainsmokers, they released an NFT project that gave people, whoever purchased the album, give them some sort of royalties.
Right. So, yeah, you know, La Russell's doing that right now. Shouts out to La Russell.
Oh, damn. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, you know, he does that.
And people have been able to start those, kind of experimenting with that, right? Because
right.
You don't know where it's going to fucking plan out, but the fact that there's artists out there and even big people and the fucking underground kind of playing around with it just shows that there's the moment where mass adoption is going to happen is not too far off, you know,
right?
At all. Like you said, only, what is it, 2023? It was 2008, I think, when Facebook officially became big.
Right.
So what's that, like 15 years? It took 15 years, and now we're where we have fucking...
And we've lived on a digital space for 15 years. I mean, exactly, plus, yeah. But, you know, like, legitly, even Instagram now, Instagram's like 11 years old or something. So I think, like, when I turn, let's just say 40, mm-hmm. in 5 years, it ain't that long ago. I was thinking about it. I was like, I think I've posted on all my birthdays since I turned, like, 21 mm-hmm. on Instagram or on Facebook. So my digital imprint at 40 will almost be tied with my physical. So like at 41, 42, mm-hmm. I would already have a digital identity that is that now has been alive longer than my physical. And there's more proof of my existence on the digital. Imagine a kid who's like,
holy fuck, you're right.
10 years old right now. And he's had a phone and a profile since he was 1 year old, 2 years old, because his parents made him one first thing and da da da. They've all had their digital identity online, right? Like, and then you think about that property. You've made something this entire time. Mm-hmm. Every photo you've snapped, every video you've gotten now occupies a cloud or this app, right? Mm-hmm. That property, whether it's that sound, video, your picture, we don't own that right now. Instagram owns that.
Exactly.
We gladly give that away.
Yeah.
There will come a point, like 10 years, 20 years from now, that our kids or grandkids are going to be like, Mom, Dad, like, you never thought to save this for yourself? Why did you guys allow these platforms? Mm-hmm. The same way, like, you know, there was just like gross fucking like misconduct back when like the first factories opened up or the first... fucking like innovation. When innovation comes along, the fools who did the innovation always come up the most, right? And then you have like, you know, why did they work in coal mines like that and have people pull the coal out with their fucking hands? Because they wanted to power these new amazing machines mm-hmm. and these new amazing fucking buildings. So they didn't care how, at what cost it was. You just did it. Then at some point it evened out. And that's the price of progress, and that's what people will say, and blah, blah, blah. Same thing has happened digitally. It's just that we're not pulling the coal and all this, but our information, our search history, our darkest thoughts and secrets and everything are on this phone, and some other entity owns it, and we don't have any problem with that. And there's nothing, there's not a goddamn thing we can really do about it, to be honest. So Web3 has the possibility to free us from those shackles. Yes,
exactly.
But at the same time, can also build a bigger prison. So there's that, that double side where you see a lot of it. A lot of the fools talk about that.
That's what you're saying. But like Web3, you're supposed to have more control and sovereignty with your privacy, with your data. Because like you said, you know, any photo that you take, even on iPhone, right, that you can swipe up and it tells you the location, tells you the metadata. Well, that information is just being uploaded, you know, and then distributed to fucking Google Maps, fucking
right, Cash and App. sold.
Yeah, exactly. The company's selling your data to them, and right, they're keeping the money.
To advertising companies. Or just to anyone who wants to advertise on Facebook. How come you're not getting paid for your own information?
Exactly.
Like, exactly. Like no one does that, right? And it's unheard of.
And nobody, like you said, nobody thinks about that. And that's why a lot of, they tried stepping down. Like whenever you go now to the fucking websites, and they, I don't know if people have noticed, but you get a window that says, we need you to accept our cookies.
Right.
You know, or clear off. You know, you open the dialogue up to see what options you can share, and it gives you like, oh, you can share analytic data.
Right.
And you have the option to choose. Right. But for the most part, nobody goes into those fucking menus, dude. Everybody just hits accept because they want to see their article or their fucking
news. Web 2's mad old, bro.
Yeah.
We don't even need cookies no more. It's like JavaScript. How long it took to get rid of JavaScript. Not like I know because I'm a nerd. Like when I heard about it, I was like, what? They're like, did you know that it took forever to get rid of JavaScript just because that's how shit works? You use the old shit till they finally throw it out. And it's like same things with cookies, like, and Web3, you know, again, like you said, sovereignty, you'd essentially be your own platform. And then you'd make it where someone's gonna have to have a platform that communicates with everything and connects the dots. Yeah. It's no longer gonna be like you have to be on this to do it. You know, I think we're in the final years of that. Who knows how long? It could be a year, fucking 10 years, 20 years, but there will come a point where it's just like the platforms no longer control everything, but that's where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. Even Donald Trump got taken off of Twitter, like the most fucking powerful man, you know, or what, the biggest platform, and like, nope, taken off. And so it's just like when I saw that, I'm like, yep, platforms run the world, bro. I can have 100,000 followers right now on Instagram, say the wrong thing, and they'll just doop, peace out.
So yeah, it's definitely not objective. You know, it's you know, when you allow people to have control over that, because, you know, and call them that the corporations have control, it's not objective at all, and it's biased, you know, to whatever.
To their personal interest, to the company's personal interest. They're going to take care of themselves, whatever that may be, you know, and whether it's political agenda or whatever you may believe, it just doesn't matter. Like, the company is going to do what's best for itself, you know, and that's just the truth of it. And so why can't we be like that? What's best for an artist is own everything, release it, self-release it, build your following, you know, sell directly to them, do stuff for them. And if you get mass adoption, if you get a bunch of people that fuck with it, great. Like you could, you know what I mean? Like, that's the fact of it. But if that's not your goal, you're not making music to be a pop star. Like, you're making slasher, goth, heavy metal. There's not a trillion listeners of that. You know, you just have a niche. You have your niche. You know, like, the Web3 and all that is even more perfect for you. Like, you can be on the even playing field as the big guy.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Kind of similar to how, like, when the platforms started coming out, like SoundCloud, with giving artists the opportunity to upload their music at this point, they have more control over that. To an extent, but at that point, they didn't have to go through a publisher or a fucking, like a label or you know, what are they called? Not a distributor. Or distributors, I guess, They can just kind of self-manage it and, hey, fucking get people to share your link. Boom, you get yourself a fucking couple million. And now it's not, okay, the next step to that is, okay, let me control the amount of money that I can make and how I can fucking, you know, now I have personal control of how it's distributed.
Right. Just cutting that middleman out, bro. You see how much ticket prices are, and then how much the fees are on Ticketmaster, AXS or whatever. Like, dog, like, it's ridiculous. Like, how are you paying, you know, damn near dub, you know, what the ticket's worth on fees? Like, and it's all under the guise that it's for safety. it's for safety so that you don't get scalped, so that you don't do this. And that's why we pay it. Think about it. Like, you do it for that corporate blanket. But if you have, say, a technology that's just like safer, you know, blockchain or whatever, a more efficient app, there's nothing you can bullshit like and be like, oh, we had to charge you $25 to secure this transaction. Like, no, that's simply not true. Some dude just paid $250,000 for a fucking Bored Ape. Like, and that fool sent $250,000 instantly.
Yeah.
But my ass couldn't buy Usher tickets. You exactly. know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's some bullshit. You yeah. know, like,
that's what I, one of the, when I first started listening or getting into kind of the idea of crypto or blockchains and stuff, what, I don't know. I don't, I'm not a fucking genius on this either, but one of them was like the, I think it's pronounced remittance fees. It's the fees that you pay when you like go to Western Union and you send money out to.
Oh yeah, dude, it's ridiculous.
Like the fees you pay to Western Union and then the conversion and then over there. Oh
dude, yeah.
It's like there's people holding your money between you and your family, right?
Right.
But blockchain or at least crypto, you can just send it in seconds with no extra fees outside of gas fees.
Right.
But fucking, that's it. You know, right. they get the money. There's no conversion. There's no like weird fucking rate. Like, oh, you got $100 less or whatever.
Right. Right. So the way that. So, like, I don't know too much about blockchain where I'm going to act like an expert, but I tried. Mm-hmm. I gave it a clean, let me look, what is blockchain? How does this work? Why, you know? Mm-hmm. And down the rabbit hole, you know, and it's, I mean, it's in the end, it's equation and it's software. It's a computer fucking yeah. equation going off. But, you know, the way that I understand it works is like, you know, in the dollar transaction or in the bank, the whole point is like one of the worst things that could happen is double dipping. Mm-hmm. It's me saying I'll sell you this mouse for $10 and then you, it's you saying you're going to sell me this mouse or I'm going to sell you this mouse for $10. Mm-hmm. And then me turning around and selling it to someone else after you send me the $10. Mm-hmm. So that way of verifying that this mouse now belongs to you is actually a really tough thing, like in just history, in human history, like that trust system and that, like, it seems so simple, but when you really think about it, it's like, that's why we have court, that's why we have, you know, files and contracts, because it would be so easy if you think about it for me to promise 10 people the same thing and mm-hmm. just take all their money and run. So that's blockchain is now taking that whole thing and saying, okay, we're going to do a smart contract.
Yeah.
We're going to both say this is what's going to happen and we're going to put it in this mutual thing, the blockchain. And then once it happens, it unlocks for both of us the money or the whatever we put into it, yeah. right? And there's even smart contracts that'll unlock certain money when you do certain things or when certain things are complete. You could put that in the contract. Yeah. So because it's on the blockchain and it's a governed by everyone else who put money in and it's all self-governed, you take out that middleman. You take out that need for
banks,
a bank or an army. You know, in the end of the day, like, what happens if you don't pay your bills? What happens if you buy a house and you fucking don't want to pay and you just sit in it? The cops come take your ass out. Now imagine if you are a country and you owe the U.S. some money or you promise you do this. What do you think happens to you? They send the motherfucking army and they fuck you up. And that's really what it's been about since like the ancient Roman days. Like the Roman dollar was the most powerful because the motherfuckers had the army that, hey, you better honor this shit or we're going to fuck you up. And it's funny, but that's how the United States really is, bro. We bully our way into like, you're going to accept this dollar, you know? So, you know, that's the thing that like when you think about Bitcoin, that people don't seem like, some people just haven't really grasped it. And it's okay. It's not easy to fucking understand this. But you have to get this. If you're listening to this, if you get anything from what I've said, like Bitcoin is like the truest form of money we've ever had on earth in the sense that it can never be inflated. It's not necessarily deflationary. What happens is the mining gets cut in half every 4 years, causing a supply shock. That's why you have a bull run every 4 years. It's called the halving. It's similar to like the point with money is all money since the beginning of time had to be a scarce source, derived from a scarce source that was hard to excavate. So even if we lived on an island, if me and you wanted to make money, and they found this in ancient civilizations, if we lived on a fucking island, whatever the rarest mineral was, that would be our money. Mm-hmm. Whatever the hardest fucking thing to get was. So if there was some fucking glass on the top of the volcano, and it took 4 months to get, and every time you went, 10 motherfuckers died, that's what you used as money. Because you think about it, that was the most hardest thing to duplicate.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with gold now. Yeah, gold's shiny and all this, but the reason that gold is gold is because you have to take it out of the earth. It's a fucking bitch. People have died and fought for it since the beginning of time. So it's like not anyone can just duplicate this shit in their fucking basement, mm-hmm. right? And then we get to the dollar now, which is just paper and just faith-based. But Bitcoin has these characteristics. So if you go and do your homework on Bitcoin and really look, it has all the characteristics of money has had on planet Earth, that every good money has had. The big difference with it is there's a finite supply, and it's built on a computer equation that can never be hacked and can never be compromised, and it's self-governed. Mm-hmm. So again, like just like the US dollar compared to Bitcoin, it's just like the Bitcoin's much more, I guess, the predictable. You can see with the dollar, we have inflation right now. People are talking about hyperinflation by the summer, and you have a Fed, you know, that prints money or stops printing money and raises interest rates to make the bonds sweeter and this and that. It's a lot of shit in and out. But yeah, if you take anything from this man, just go do some homework on Bitcoin. Not trying to like sell you on it. You know, like one way or another, everyone's gonna have to own it at some point.
Yeah. Of course, that's where we're moving towards. Like, regardless of anything, where people think about the idea of cash is moving away, and like we're already doing Apple Pay, right? You're used to doing your phone. It's just a fucking wireless transaction. Before you know it, all those things are going to move into a digital type of currency, which is what the fucking USA has been looking into. You know,
China does that already.
Oh fuck!
They don't even carry money; they just have their shit on their phone. Even the old people got it. And they don't even use money no more. You just have that. And it's almost on some social score shit. They even have a social score. I've heard about it.
Creepy.
Yeah. Like if you seem negative or you seem like you're not going with the program, your neighbors will vote on you and shit. And then they'll kind of like, it lowers your score. You know, I mean, you know, it's a trip. But yeah, man, I was, you know, super into Web3, man. And that shit, that event was amazing. And shouts out to Mr. Hodler and, you know, Disrupt LA and for doing that event. Shouts out to them.
Yeah, no, for sure. Let's fucking keep making these events happen. You know, it's like you said, it's wild, wild west, so it's super early. You know, it's like fucking completely desert. We're cowboys right now, but you know, it's just a matter of time before. And you know what? Before I actually continue with that, I think in the last couple of months, because of the whole bear market stuff, the market collapse and the fucking Bitcoin halving itself from the fucking last year, people were just sick panicking.
Right.
I think it's easy for people to look at that and be like, fuck that. I don't want to get into crypto. Like, it's not doing well. But I think this is probably the best time because, you know, when it bleeds, you want to stack up.
Yeah.
Right? You want to stack up. You want to have that, you know, that courage to fucking stand your ground and be like, you know what? Let me fucking buy $5, $10, whatever you can. Right.
Right.
So you're stacking up, but making it a habit to just, I don't know, dude, just fucking progress with what's going on and be one of the builders, you know, the pioneers.
Yeah. You know, like you said, if you bought at the top, like at 60,000, or you're all into it when things were super hot, like it sucks now because you're like, man, you blew all your money at that top. But right now is probably the best time to get into it because your risk is the lowest. Mm-hmm. Like, you buy now, and even if it 50% corrected, like you're not really losing that much money, as opposed to the fools who bought like at this time last year or last December. Like if you bought at 50-60K, history proves you're probably still gonna be okay. It's just gonna take you longer to get in profit, mm-hmm. you know. But the last bull run, the top was 20K, so I think it went from $1,000 to 20K. This is like 2017. So imagine the fools who bought at 1,000, happy. Then the fools who bought at 20K, sad. Then it goes down to like 8K. then it dips all the way down to 3K during the pandemic. The week the pandemic was announced, mm-hmm. it went to 3K. And from 3K, it went to 69K.
Dude.
So if you had bought at 20 and you were sad, but you just never sold, and then you just bought the dips. You bought all the way down to 3K. Mm-hmm. When it hit 69K, you're probably happy as fuck. But there's a bunch of fools who probably bought at that, and now their head repeats itself.
Yeah.
And the fools who bought at 1,000 way back when, they ain't complaining. The fools who bought at 20, they're like, well, you know, can't wait for it to go back up.
Yeah.
And then the fools who bought at 60, either they sold or they have to just fucking wait. And you know, history proves if you could wait that 4 years, you know, even 8 years, two cycles, you're probably going to be good. I'll tell you this much. All the crypto events, if I meet people who got into it at 2012, 2013, they look like they got problems, but it doesn't look like money is one of their problems. You know what I mean? These fools just don't. They don't look like they're stressing about any of this shit. Yeah. They're just like, I got in so early, like, they're probably sitting on a couple Bitcoin, probably, you know, multiple, and especially Ethereum. A lot of them are big on Ethereum because they all bought Ethereum at $10, $50, mm-hmm. $80. And even right now in the bear market, Ethereum's sitting at $1,700, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's just about when you buy, dude. Hopefully, you know, even now, if you're buying now and investing now, you know, you look back and say, damn, this was the best time. Like Ethereum's 12 G's now. I could have bought it at 1,700.
Hell yeah, bro. Yeah, I think at some point you have to have a lot of, the word's not commitment. It's
conviction.
Conviction. There you go. Yeah. You got to have conviction with it. You know, you got to invest in it and be like, fuck it. I'm just not going to touch it. Just going to commit to it. You know, get that conviction in. And
do your research so you know what you're buying.
Yeah.
If you know what you're buying.
Yeah, don't do the shit coins.
No, like you can't. And I stopped buying shit coins. I bought Dogecoin first. Yeah. And I made some money off of it. But once I figured out what it was, mm-hmm. I thought Dogecoin was another Bitcoin. I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
Like that's how, you know, ignorant I was.
That's the one Elon was pushing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know, dude. I thought, hey, Bitcoin, cool. What's another one? Oh, everyone's talking about Dogecoin. What does it do? Well, it's just like Bitcoin. It's a blockchain. Da, da, da. Like, and it's going to be bigger than Bitcoin, or it's like Bitcoin before Bitcoin was the king. And I'm just like, word? Like, damn, this is dope, you know? Let me buy this shit.
The little fucking dog?
Yeah, bro, I didn't know, dude. I was just, and then, but that's what set me down the rabbit hole. Yeah. And I started learning about new shit. Oh, this coin, that coin. And like, I would read memes or like see a page. I'd be like, these are the top 5 coins set to explode. And I'd be like, all right, dope. And I'll go buy like 3 of them. Just idiot, dude. Like, I was that guy, you know? Like, but through that, then I would go and learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of like be, all right, even if I learned some information on it, like, I still don't fucking understand. I'm just like, okay, this does this. Cool. Let me buy a little. Cool. Look at it. Like, shit's whack, you know, whatever. Yeah. I'm going to sell this shit, you know?
I bought fucking that. I'm sorry, how much time are we on?
We're at 54 minutes.
54? Okay, cool. I'm also wrapping that up. What was it?
But we started like 6 minutes in, so like 7 minutes in. So we're probably like at 45, 47.
Sorry. Oh, okay, cool. Well, I invested last year in Cheech and Chong's. It's called Dreamland. Cheech and Chong in Dreamland. It's an NFT project. You know, they did good by their people, I guess, but their whole utility, right? Like their why they exist was that you can get free posters, free fucking like bongs and all this shit.
And did you get any?
I went to an event in LA for NFT LA last year, and they had free weed for everybody. They gave everybody free weed. If you were a holder, yeah. Oh, they give you a free shirt, a tote bag. So it was cool, but I mean, it was cool. It was cool, man. I can't.
On what blockchain was it built on?
Ethereum.
But yeah. Like what site hosted it, or did they just have their own?
No, what was it?
.io is usually an .io.
It was an .io. Yeah, but
do
it
you
was
remember what site it was?
No, to be honest, I don't.
Yeah, because it's usually like one, you know, it's usually a platform or an app or a project that hosts mm-hmm. it, you know? So it's like
it must have been
Ethereum
some studio,
will be the blockchain, but it could be like it could be minted on Ethereum, but it could be Palm. Palm NFT is hosting it. Mm-hmm. Or it could be, you know, Recur, like we're talking about.
Yeah.
Or it could be one of these other ones, you know, different projects on blockchains, you know, Polygon, Cardano, like I said, they all have their own.
I'm trying to remember who it was. I honestly think
but that's cool.
One of the projects that when I first got in, I had no idea what the fuck anything was. So
right.
I probably won't remember. But what I was trying to get to is that when I first jumped into the fucking NFT space, I started watching YouTube videos about how to navigate, like, what is gas fees? What is a wallet? Right. And, you know, I was just very interested because some homie made a bunch of money and I was like, bro, you made fucking, you know, 10 G's? He's like, yeah. I was like, dude, I gotta jump on this. Dude, I remember I just spent fucking $300 on a like some stupid looking ugly monkey. I was like, just following the trend on OpenSea, trying to like fucking see what I can buy. And I bought it and I was like, this is gonna be it. Dude, the next day, or no, actually, no, a few hours later, that shit dropped to like $30.
Fuck,
I was so disappointed, dude. I felt
you minted it for $300.
No, I bought it on secondary.
Oh, shit.
On OpenSea.
Oh, shit.
I was like, fuck it, 300, boom.
Right.
And then, dude, it dropped and it ends up being a rug pull. And oh, I was like, man, I was
Most projects were rug pulls, dude. And I think, like, some that weren't, that are on respectable blockchains, they will have a historic significance, especially anything minted in 2021. I think we'll have especially, it'll be equivalent, some of it, to like a 1996 Pokemon card. It'll just have that allure because it was such a crazy year. But you also have to understand, like 95% of most projects are just going to die and not be worth shit. Yeah. And so.
That's a really good way to put it. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I minted three of my own NFTs, just my own, just for some music and to try it out. I minted a video, like a 15-second video clip, and I minted a logo, 7 copies, and if you bought one, you got a vinyl. Mm-hmm. So I did 7 of them, and I sold all 7, like in a day, at $100 a pop.
Okay, that's fucking good, man.
But everyone who bought it, they didn't even want the NFT. They just wanted the vinyl, but they were just supporting. But they thought the NFT was cool. This is when NFTs were cool, were kind of cool for that minute. Then everyone just hated them because of all the rug pulls and everyone having bad experiences, right? It's like everyone fucking got STDs from NFTs and just spread around all dirty, right? And now everyone fucking hates them. Like people are pulling out of projects left and right.
Yeah, they are.
Disney just closed its whole Metaverse department yesterday. So, like a lot of that shit is rugs, dude. It fucking sucks, but it is what it is. You got to be careful. You at least have to know that the project you're going to be a part of is gonna be around for years and years. Mm-hmm. If it isn't, like if it's just the sake of having an NFT to have an NFT, who, no matter what it may be, it's probably gonna fail.
Yeah.
Cause like even big companies tried their best to do an honest NFT and it was just bullshit because they just didn't, it wasn't built on the right network or with the right like team. It was more just meant to be like a novelty. Like let's just do it cause the NFTs are hot. And Snoop Dogg did a lot of that shit too.
Yeah, he did.
He did a lot of that shit. So yeah, I mean, just be careful out there. But yeah, I minted some just to keep that historical significance of 2021. And that's when it peaked. 2021 was the peak. And then January of 2022, most NFT projects had that blow off top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they were just moon. Like they just they fucking all just made went money, like, sold out. What the
fuck? Yeah, everyone just went crazy like that first week or two. And it really was the last few fools buying up the floor and just pumping them just to dump on fools, like just whale shit.
Some whale
big
shit.
Money just came and went,
yeah,
bought everything up, created hysteria, and then just started dumping on it. But some fools saw it coming, and a lot of us didn't listen. There were a couple fools who were saying, this doesn't make any sense, like there's no reason for any of the shit to be worth this much, and you guys should sell. Everyone said, you're a fucking idiot. Get out of here. You're FUD. And no, that motherfucker was right. You know, shouts out to that guy. I remember him. I didn't listen to you though, dog. But
yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, whatever, bro.
Yeah.
No, it was a good beginning of the year. No, I'm not gonna lie. You know, it was a good year.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and then I got burnt, like most people. But I'm still around. I still do projects. I'm still I'm very, very selective on what I'm
getting. I'm gonna get you on VV.
Yeah, yeah.
They're dropping the first Hulk on Friday.
This Friday,
Incredible Hulk. So they have the contract with Marvel to do all of Marvel's digital collectibles. So they already dropped the first Spider-Man on the blockchain, the secret rare version, which only has a, I think a thousand. No, not a thousand editions. Yeah, I think it has 1,000 editions. Mm. It's Spider-Man's first appearance on the blockchain.
You can see the comic
metadata.
Book?
Oh, well, they have the comics too, and yeah, you could read them in AR. So fucking augmented reality, they'll be right here, and you can just flip through the pages.
Oh, that's pretty fucking cool.
And they dropped Marvel Comics number one, their first one ever. Mm-hmm. Amazing Spider-Man number one, and Amazing Fantasy 15, which is the first appearance of Spider-Man. So they have all these drop, bro. And right now, even in the bear market, they're fucking doing pretty good.
How much do they go for? I guess they call them collectibles or just the comics? Or
yeah, I mean, they're both. I mean, they have collectibles, which are like little mini statues. Mm-hmm. And then they have comics.
Oh, okay.
So you could collect either one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, the comics go for $6 on drop day. Then they resell. Oh, like some of the rare ones resell for like $40. Some of them to $200-$300. Then you have like big drops like that, like the Amazing Fantasy 15. They dropped that one for $20. That one, the floor to even get the most basic one is like, even now in the bear market, is like $340.
Damn.
And then the secret rare, which is like the super rare one, right now the floor on that one, the cheapest one you get, is $12.9K.
What the fuck?
And I went for that drop and I didn't get it. I was so sad, bro. I almost wanted to break my phone and never use the app again. People get upset, bro. They love this app.
Yeah.
They have the most psycho fans ever, bro. And I think right now we have 22,000 monthly active users. And just so you guys know, like, to compare to the sandbox has less than 3,000.
Sandbox is that metaverse one, right?
Yeah. And that's one of the biggest metaverses in the world as far as market cap. Mm-hmm. That one and Decentraland. Decentraland has less than like 5K, I think, monthly active users. And there's nothing to do in their metaverse. They had so much hype, bro. So, yeah, Vivi's a sleeping giant, dude. Anyone out there, just check it out. Some people don't like it because it's like a little bit commercialized. It's not as free and open and interoperable as, say, an OpenSea or some of these other crypto projects. So some of the purists, they hate it because of that. But when you got Disney, when you got Marvel, when you got, you know, Universal and all these big brands, that was the only way they were going to allow their IP to be used, if they're like, it can't leave this app, not for a while. So they have a bunch of restrictions. But at the same time, it's not a rug. They're getting all the exclusive, and they've held their... I mean, their prices have dropped a lot from the peak, from the very, very top. But you got to understand, too, at that very top, there weren't many sales there. There were a few.
Yeah.
Like, there's noted sales of, like, some of their stuff selling for over 50, 60 grand at the peak. So whoever is out there that bought that shit at 50 grand, God bless you. Hopefully you had it. But there's a few, right? But just because the floor was at 80 grand doesn't mean that fucking, if you posted at 80 grand, it was just selling instantly. Sell. No, yeah, obviously. Right. You know, but if you had posted that 20 at that time, yeah, someone probably would have snatched it up in a second. Yeah,
exactly.
And now they've corrected so much. But anyway, it's a dope app. I'm going to get you on that one on VV, and anyone out there. I love that app. I'm like a little ambassador for it. So check it out.
No, hell yeah. Yeah.
Go pump my bags, baby. I'm shilling it.
He's a well. Nah, but thank you so much for having this conversation. It's been awesome. Just catching up with you, and you're just kind of seeing who you are, and you know, outside of the music, and thank you for that. Thank you for the invitation here as well.
Of course, bro. Like we said, like, this is the beginning of something cool, and happy to give the primate a home.
Hell yeah!
Give you, you know, a nice secure tree to swing in, or a fucking nice little like cave or whatever a primate lives in.
I'm gonna bring some bananas in here.
There we go, fool.
Well, thank you, Mezcal. You know, for people, if they want to find your music, if they want to get to know you even more, you know, what is the best place to reach you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, IG, everywhere is Viva Mezcal. So VivaMescal. That's even VivaMezcal.com. That's on Spotify. That's on everything, Cash App, Venmo, whatever you need, man. You know, hit me up. And check the music out. I got the short film dropping soon. And, you know, hopefully I'll be doing more in the Web3 as it develops, bro. We just got to be there looking at it along the way. But I do got a few things I want to explore with that. So hopefully, you know, be dropping some digital collectibles with the film. So, you know, anyone who's into that, you know, reach out. Make sure you, keeping up, and appreciate the time, dude. Appreciate the talk.
Hell yeah, man. Well, everybody else, thank you for listening. And we'll see you guys next week.
I said I found my way, I said I paved my way. I do. To make it out this maze and plan my great escape. All them blessings right in front your face. Don't forget it, no, we did it independently. I found my way, I said I paved my way. I do. To reach the greatest lengths while others sit in place. See them blessings right in front your face. Gotta get it, no, I'm thankful that my mama prayed.
Days and days, the sun will rise, but will you rise with it? My eyes are slightly lower than that 6'4" that we hopping in. We lifted hoods, shifted mental prisons out this bitch for good. You sit and wish we did the opposite. We went and got this shit. Walking down the darkest path for the presence of a guiding hand. Ancestors' light, ignite eternal light. This mic, I crafted plans to make my great escape. But I ain't rocked the pay to play, so they hate my ways. I say you can't take the leap without the faithful. Mama, pray for me. I see the way I stay unscathed in danger zones, and hate for me seems to rise with the praise for me. We age gracefully. That's where right. Every candle on the cake is more about the taste. I came out the maze, so who's amazing me? Yo, Nug, I lost count of the times we were solo on the grind, and then the harvest came in and they flocked to us to grub. Can't get bored with all the dubs, but even winning isn't enough, so I'ma pray until my kingdom come.
I said I found my way, I said I paved my way. I do. To make it out this maze and plan my great escape. All them blessings right in front your face. Don't forget it, no, we did it independently. I found my way, I said I paved my way. I do. To reach the greatest lengths while others sit in place. See them blessings right in front your face. Gotta get it, no, I'm thankful that my mama prayed.
I found my way to get here. I had to slide and skate. Blunt to the face. All this shit is on my mind today. Don't know how I'ma make all this money, but I'ma find a way. Get out my way, I'm faded. All I'm doing is getting high today. It's safe to say that I made it, cause I ain't gotta wait for somebody to cut me a check, and I got a spot to stay. So many niggas hate, they always got a lot to say. If you jealous and envious, then you gots to pray. I'm on a yacht smoking pot, we in Monterey. On delay, bring my tequila to go with my filet. By the way, I spent half a million doing this my way. The right way, this ain't no designer, but this the fly way. I'm with my lady doing 100 on the highway. Niggas know it's still a Chevy in the driveway. That's why I pray every day, cause shit, I could die today. I'm always going through some shit, but hey, I'm doing fine today.
I said I found my way, I said I paved my way. I do. To make it out this maze and plan my great escape. All them blessings right in front your face. Don't forget it, no, we did it independently. I found my way, I said I paved my way. I do. To reach the greatest lengths while others sit in place. See them blessings right in front your face. Gotta get it, no, I'm thankful that my mama prayed.